And just to bless the Lord for helping all of us to be here this morning again to continue our journey in our Master and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. I thank God for making us Christians, for giving us a great hope in Christ our blessed. Please be comfortable anywhere you want to sit. Thank God there's microphone. Right. And I just pray as we have prayed that what the Lord has laid in our hearts this morning, that He Himself will bless it and give increase to it. What I also like, though, is that those in the overflow, unless by reason of children, please join us here so that we'll be one. Shade, you do have a testimony that you need to give. So thank you. Thank you, everybody. My sister got that. That opportunity that we were pitching for last Sunday. Thanks to everybody, the Church of God, we bless the Lord for you. For like they say in this country, yao. And now she's smiling ever so brightly. There seems to be finally, you know, the concern about having a skill. And you are wondering how such skill could be leveraged in a totally different environment. And every door initially appears to be shut. And you're persistent. And then the Lord begins to show opportunities where you thought there could never be any. So we bless the Lord. I think she's waiting till the testimony. The funny thing is, when the dam breaks, it really does break. Now she's seen other opportunities. And right, I should have left you to give your own testimony. Oh, sorry, I will give it. I'm still the Olori Ebi in Laura. Okay, praise the Lord. So we thank the Lord for that. We say that to encourage us also, because I remember we were pitching this. May the Lord bless us and continue with us. So this morning, what I really quickly, and I'm not going to keep us, share with us is what the Lord has been sharing with me. I like all of us to just look around us. And I like, in the spirit, anybody, look at all the empty chairs and tell me what they minister to you personally as an individual. Look around New Covenant Church. Look at the empty chairs in this building and tell me what it tells you as an individual.
So I'd like us to just talk through scriptures this morning, and then we'll do it.
I have your own dedicated mic.
Okay.
Since you'll be talking a lot today.
Okay. I mean, for me personally, it just lets me know that I'm not doing my job as an evangelist to tell people, invite people to come into church. I feel like if it was other settings, I'd be more aggressive with it. But there's just this complacency that's like, and there's work to be done. We have friends that we know don't go to church, or they don't go to a living church. And I think just encouraging them to come in and worship with us one time, if they're zealous, they'll stay. And there are other people that don't even go at all that need a place to worship that we need to tell up, invite.
Yeah. Auntie Jackie says, thank you, Mama Soji.
Personally, I don't feel guilty that the chairs are empty, because the reason the chairs are empty, I evangelize a lot, I bring so many people. But what I've realized in this generation nowadays, people are only going to churches that is crowded, that is full of wrong messages. They go there to do their businesses for very different reasons. So here, the truth is really here. Because like I said, when I meet you guys, I've been to different churches. The truth is here, and when the people get here, because people that I bring here, I talk to them, they say, oh, it's boring. You guys talk about Jesus too much. You are so much into the Bible. Sometimes I just want to get fun. So I'm like, what type of fun? You know? So that's the reason. So nobody should feel guilty. This is where we are, and somebody want to hear the truth, they will come and they will stay. But now, everybody, like I said, I've been to different churches. They all go to socialize, do their businesses, different things. So not everybody want to hear the truth. So our prayer point should be, though, we should pray to people that want to hear the truth, that really, really want to serve God. That is the prayer point. But don't feel guilty.
Okay. Who else wants to chip in? Auntie Megan?
The scripture that came to mind was Matthew 9:37-38 that says, the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. So ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the vineyard. And when I look at the empty seats, an important component is the prayer aspect, because we still need the Lord to send the workers into the vineyard. And it kind of beckons on my heart that how frequent versus just praying for people we see immediately around us, or family members or ourselves, for souls to be saved. Because the Lord says, ask the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the vineyard.
Yeah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Okay. Thank you. And I think everybody just touched on important components of what I think the Lord... Mommy. Okay. Most people love darkness more than light, because their deeds are evil. A small congregation, fear not, O ye little flock, for thus is the kingdom of God. Because ours is the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So we all touched on components, and they are all true. Let me start from Sister Jackie's component. And Mommy also spoke to it. It is very true. We cannot with guilt do the work of the Lord. And it's also true that when you decide to do what the Bible says, it's not likely going to be very popular. Right. It's also true that we should not, because, like Mommy spoke, because we want a crowd. Actually, 200 people wouldn't be a crowd. But because we want a crowd, we should not then change who we are. We should continue to be faithful to God's word, which is what Mommy talked about. It's also true what Auntie Folake talked about, that unless you are sure here, and you can say it with certitude, that you're weak day in, day out, and your prayer diligently has been that souls will be saved, then what Sister Folake has said is also true. That personally, like good husbandmen, we should search ourselves to really see whether, as we read, we're doing the work of an evangelist, and that we're instant in and out of season. We must. Because the Lord will ask of us how diligent we have been in our workplaces, in our personal relationships, to tell people whether our feet have indeed been beautiful in preaching and bringing to people the gospel of peace. Now, if like me, you are going to be very honest and say, Lord, I have been, but it's been momentary. I have not shared a passion. The perishing souls in my family, in my community, in Hyattsville, have never caused me to wake up in the morning and see their faith, see them in the light of the cross and the suffering of Jesus Christ, then it's also incumbent on us to make a change and pray to God for the grace to perform the work of an evangelist. What Sister Megan said is also very true. I think I covered it. In desiring to do it, we cannot in on ourselves do it. The Lord said we should pray the God of the harvest to bring harvest. Now, are we praying the God of the harvest to bring harvest? If we are not, goes back to what Auntie Folake said, then we ought to be. Now, when we look at these chairs, in the light of the perishing millions. Unless we are callous in the spirit, it ought to make us say, Lord, what can I do? Will I enjoy heaven alone? I bet you, if Christ were here this morning, what he'd be most concerned about is not the 99 of us who are saved, but the one person out there that is not. So I was just, and I think this, I heard July 11th. We talked about this on the 11th of July. The Lord gave me this beating in my heart to speak to the church about this. And again, I think I'm supposed to keep speaking about it so that we will remember. I've heard people say they are bored in their Christian walk. We are bored if we are not about the master's business. I think when we preached about this on the 11th of July, the context was that if you are redeemed of the Lord, don't keep quiet. And I deliberately started off by asking Shade that to talk about what the Lord has done for her this week. In the natural things, in our workplaces, the things that God has done, all of them are supposed to be tools of evangelism for us. Right. If we all, in the last 18 years, I think I've been emphasizing the fact that we've been 18 years as a body, established body in Maryland. In 18 years, if we had been diligent in inviting, not just inviting, also following up, then I don't think we'll be dispersed on Sundays. Because it is true that majority does not love righteousness. The man who said that, our Lord Jesus Christ, in his days, because of the spirit of grace on him, a multitude still gathered to hear the message of peace. It is true that iniquity abounds in our days, yes. But in all of the age of Christianity, when the fire of the Spirit burns, people still are interested in Christians who are speaking the truth in the name of Jesus Christ. I tell you, here in the state of Maryland, here in Ayersville, there are people who are looking to hear the gospel of peace. And we are the ones that are sent. We may not know how. The disciples did not know how. But this sermon is to sensitize our heart that there's a reason why we are sent. That we may bear fruit for the Lord Jesus. Now, it may be something as simple as talking about our businesses and making someone know that, you know what? My confidence is in the Lord Jesus. I am not just saying it. Making people know that, you know what, I remember when I was totally confused and I prayed unto the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me. And someone says, show me this Savior that you are talking about. Come and see him. Remember the story of Philip and Nathaniel? Say, come, I think I've seen the Messiah. Say, okay, where is that Messiah? Come and see him. The woman, John chapter 4, by the well, he told me everything that I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? Come and see him. Our job is to tell people. Our job is to make people know what God is doing. And God gives us all of these testimonies in our lives so that we have a story. Each one of us here has a story today. Shade just got a brand new story. Behold, I relocated to the U.S., and in the financial sector, it looks like there's no way unless you have an American degree. And here was I, Kunle and I were popping up kids, so no time to really focus on my... We were trying to make up for lost time. So it just pop. So as I had morale, and I thought after morale, I'll be able to rest and get my career. Behold, Oluwadunsi came again. And you know, how do you do career? You're trying to do certification. I don't know how to do any other thing except these finances and this. I read economics. But how do you, I've never seen anybody who came directly from Nigeria and applied economics in the workplace, in the marketplace in the United States of America. Say, you know what? There was a time, people just told me, just give up. Look, go and do Uber. You know? You know, nothing is automatic. You know, there used to be a time that I would say, go and do nursing. Even that one is no longer automatic. Right? There is the best, and just go to grad school. Even grad school wouldn't give you. And aside from that, you just pile up was no teaching assistantship, no something anymore. Right? So there was no way. I looked to my left. I spoke to my pastor. He prayed for me. I spoke to my friends. They encouraged me, but nobody had a solution. After, I even saw they were even struggling in their own lives. So I turned unto the Lord. And the Lord made a way. Who is this Lord that you are talking about? Well, the tendency is that we will move on from that miracle. Forget the miracle. And you better believe the next trial is waiting for you. But let's not refuse to tell. I remember when I first got married, I never thought I was going, I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about a hypothetical case. I never thought I was going to have actually me. My wife had fibroids. We were told after marriage. And at that point, it was huge fibroids. And the first thing we did was a major surgery in the United States, and the doctor showed me these fibroids, and I was like, no, forget about babies. Just, you are never going to have Similulua, never, right? But we rested on the Lord, and lo and behold, Similulua was 11 last week. Will we stop? There's a woman with fibroids that is willing to hear about the mercies of the Lord somewhere. How will they preach unless they are sent? How sweet and beautiful. We have a testimony of Jesus. If we kept focusing on life as it happens to us, distractions of life as it happens to us, we'll always have an issue to focus on until the trumpet sounds and takes us by surprise. And that will be the parable of the virgins who had no oil. Then at the last sound of the trumpet, they remembered, I'm supposed to be winning souls. But it was too late. I think we can all agree now that there will always be challenges. So we can't wait till there are no more challenges before we start doing the work. There's a Yoruba song, Auntie Megan, Auntie Jackie. I'm looking for those who don't understand Yoruba. Brother Kunle, who doesn't understand Yoruba in this list? I'm just making fun of him. He speaks Yoruba like he doesn't understand it. He's Yoruba, but he speaks it like he doesn't understand it. Grandma, Ned?
Sure, don't you understand?
Okay, we have to interpret then, right? Okay. There's a song that says, and I said, I'm not going to take long this morning. I just want us to talk through scriptures. I've been asking the question, why are we bored? What are we waiting for? Brethren, what are we really waiting for? Were we waiting for the kids to enter school? Well, they have entered. Is it for them to graduate? Well, they will soon graduate. Look, there will always be something. Mommy, what are we waiting? There will always be something, right? Mommy, it's a bad day. Until Bani Simininu Jesu, Tobanwa is Siminino Aye, I'm going to interpret. Koni Lai Lairi, Toriko si Siminile Aye. Foni Bagbo, Alai Bagbo, Jesu Christine Simi. The singular rest, and we talked about this last week, is when we fully embrace Christ as our purpose. If we're waiting till we bought a car, well, we've bought several now. What has it done for us? We're waiting till we have kids. Well, now we have them. Whether you have it or not, they are wahala. It's a whole brand new set of wahala for you. They say they bring fulfillment and something. It's true, but you can't wait to drop them off with grannies. It's true. There's a Yoruba proverb that says, Antonio, the one that has children, and the person that does not have, is the same wahala. You are waiting to have wife. I know, we have been there. It's wahala. Now, we pray that the expectations of our hearts in Christ, as evidence of his faithfulness, will always be fulfilled. But last week and this week, I just want to focus on a peace of God that passes all human understanding. I want us to focus as we live life, as God has given to us, I want us to also focus on the eternal purpose, our job on earth. We are not going to be bored if our desires and our satisfactions are premised on Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. The thing about Christ was how focused he was on the Father's mission. He said, my work is to do and finish the work that the Father has sent me. That should also be our joy. So I was talking about a Yoruba song. We Yorubas know it. I pray that someone would, because there's no English version, unlike O Lord who created, that you could interpret. That song that says, Ijoba Orun, the kingdom of God, is the reward of the saint. Please keep singing it. The kingdom of God is the reward of a saint. Lord, help me not to lose my way. Bring me home safely. Let me not miss my way. Bring me home safely. The glorious home. Ileo go. Omoti mobi. The keys that I have. Kole mumi deleo. Cannot take me to heaven. Moto ti morira. All the cars that I've bought. Kole wa mi deleo. Cannot drive me to heaven. Okoti moni. That trance that I married. Kole mumi deleo. Cannot take me to heaven. Gbogbo iwe ti morika. All of my degrees. Kole mumi deleo. Cannot take me to Majenum, Baba, help me not to get lost. Mumi de, take me home. Ayela jo. The earth is just a orunile. The ultimate destiny is heaven. Loja, the world is just a marketplace. The heaven is our ultimate destination. Take me home. Ile ogo, that glorious home. Mumi deleo, Lord, please take me home. Mumi deleo, Father, please, please take me home. Mumi deleo, Father, please ensure that no matter what, I get home. Ileo go. Matthew chapter 10. And I've been meditating on this from last week where I said, I've been wondering why our joy and our happiness flows and ebbs based on situations in our lives. I would think that the promise of God is that through the mountain, through the valley, we have a constant joy. And that should be our objective. Part of it is when we are focused on what the Lord wants us to be focused. If truly our joy is to see his kingdom established on earth, everything, the cross that the Lord Jesus Christ endured, the crown of thorn on his head, the stone that he was stoned, the vinegar and the water from his sides, everything had a purpose. The killing of Stephen, everything had a purpose. And I encourage us, and in spite and in the face of all of those, they were still constant in doing the will of the Father. So I'm just begging us this morning, don't let anything ever dissuade you from knowing that you're a new creature and your purpose on earth is to show forth the praise of Jesus Christ who saved us. Focus. When you talk to friends, let them know about Jesus. Not that evangelism should not be an event. It should be our life. In the morning, afternoon and night, morning, evening, night, have I raised my voice unto thee. Let us prepare, make up our minds that our lives will be built around prayer. Let us believe in the invisible hands that helps. You see, we are not meant to be delivered by the network that we have. We are not meant, if you are a Christian today and your confidence, your security is in the degrees you have, if your confidence is in your financial prowess, I like to say, because the Bible says that Let the rich not glory in his wealth, or the strong in his strength, or the wise in his wisdom. He that glories should glory that he has the ultimate source of confidence, that he knows me. I pray that we will leave our houses prepared in the spirit every day to face the day. So that no matter what the day brings, though we may not know the outcome, we'll be confident. This can only be achieved by being in the presence of the Lord, by persuading ourselves to seek the Lord, to commit to his word, to believe in Jesus, our Redeemer. And then he will guide us like a shepherd, as a shepherd guides his sheep through the day. Right? Do you understand? And it's in the abundance of this that when we go out, we'll also be truthful when we speak. We'll say, I'm happy. Why are you happy? Well, the Lord did this for me. Come and see the Lord that did it. That is how evangelism flows. This last week, so I've been applying for jobs. After 14 years, I decided, well, I don't. I'm tired of consulting. Besides, I was losing a project that allows me to work from. I think I told people in a Bible study this. So I had not applied for a job for a long time. I've not done an interview in the longest. I can't remember the last time I did an interview. I've conducted interviews. I've done recruiting for my firm, but to be interviewed. So I just discovered I'd never sent out an email to a recruiter from my personal email, funcion98@hotmail.com. And so I had a recruiter reach out to me, and I responded. Then I looked at my tagline, right? And my tagline was a Bible passage, unto him that loved us, and, you know? And for a micro split second, I was going to delete it. And then the Holy Ghost, what are you about to do? It just seemed that it was inappropriate to talk about he that loved us, that, you know, in the context of a professional recruitment. But for a microsecond, I was going to backspace and say, this doesn't belong. Then I realized consciously that that is a blessing. It means clearly that whoever sees my, by just that openness about who you are, all those doors that are not supposed to come your way, the kind of jobs that you will need to be politically correct, right, will not come to you. Because up front, you are declaring in your natural way. You don't open an email for professional, another one. There will be a sliver. It might be 98% of job application will look at you and go, not my kind of candidate. And those are the exact kind of jobs that you don't want anyway. You'll be depending on the living God. Not your qualification, not what your resume says, but on the living God to bring exactly those opportunities that will give you grace. And when you get there, you'll not be ashamed to minister the grace of God. Let's read a few Bible passages. Matthew chapter 10, verse 27. Anybody that finds it should please read it.
What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Continue.
Yeah.
And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. Both soul and body in hell.
Amen. This is the time. This was the context in which the disciples were sent out. And they went out and they just talked about Christ. And the Lord is saying here, this is a time where we can no longer be secret agents. The Lord is counting on every one of us to go and tell relatives, to go and tell friends. Actually, that is our job. the souls that are lost in any generation are the responsibility of the saints in that generation. Every single workmate, use style to tell them about Christ. Think about these empty chairs. Think about all the opportunities. Mention to people, there's a living God. Go tell it on the mountains, over the hills, and everywhere else. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is Lord. How will they hear unless they are sent? So, we have been telling the Lord what we want. And quite frankly, the Lord is already familiar because he says before we tell him, he knows. So we've basically been repeating what he knows to him. But he told us to. He said, rather than be anxious, prayer, begging, supplication means to beg. Some of us pray, we don't beg. You know that, hey, he already knows what's happening to me. If he wants, he cuckoo help me. If he doesn't want... No. The design is prayer, supplication. Then, like a true man of faith, I bless you, Lord, with thanksgiving. Let your request be laid before the Lord. But being anxious, you cannot add a cubit to your life. Look at the lilies of the valley. Look at the... So let's settle all of that. God already knows. As I was saying last week, what is the Lord saying to us? What is the Lord saying to us? Why are you here? Let's do the work of an evangelist. These chairs, not in guilt, but how many of us running a business, we like low patronage. Can you imagine you opened a business 18 years ago? The product is wonderful. The branding is excellent. Tested. But your patronage is very low. How many of you say, people just don't like good products? Eh? They love the cheap made in China one. They just don't like. No, it may be true. And it is true. Right? But I guess what you'll be saying is, how can I make this good product more popular? What is it that I should be doing to propagate the gospel that I'm not doing? Then it will be the Lord that will be saying, don't worry, my son. You are trying your best. They are just hard of hearing. It is not us that will say, let them go to hell. Let them go to hell, Lord. No, we'll be like Moses saying, Lord, please don't destroy them. Please don't destroy them. There's more satisfaction. The Bible says the soul that wins, the man who wins a soul, he that wins a soul is wise. Let me ask you, have you ever won a soul to Jesus since you were born again? Think about it. Have you ever been instrumental in bringing a Christian that is standing to Jesus? On Judgment Day, will you be able to point to people that you say, Lord, by your grace, this person is standing, they got to hear the gospel through the testimony that you gave to me to share with them? Now, I'll ask you another question. If you've won it, so are you satisfied with one soul in the midst of millions? Here in the state of Maryland, there are millions of souls. I've spoken to people who have told me, we've never heard the kind of things you are talking about. Haven't you? Have you? Buki. She doesn't want to lie. Okay. I just like you, Buki. You don't lie. If I say yes now, I'll be lying. If I say no now, you look at me somehow. Don't worry, I wouldn't. But I've spoken, and people say, and they've been in the church for a long time, let's go get them. What we gladden as we close, what we gladden the heart of our Redeemer every morning as we tell him about the trials in our lives, if we are also telling him about the trials in his heart. There's a song, also he says, there's a song that says, it's Yoruba again, I have to, sorry, Sister Jackie. You know, I mean, what can I do? What can I do? Please. Grandma, please, I will interpret. I mean, I will have to. There's no English translation. Okay, thank you. Says, Emini olofogo re oluwa. Wait. Edro. Who can interpret that one? It's not use me for your glory.
I should be the one.
It's not I should be the one. Emini olofogo re oluwa. It is me that you should use. No, use me for your glory is different. It's an assertiveness. There's a, Lord, if ever you use anybody, let it be me. It's not just, you should use me now. It's not just, use me. It's, if ever there's your glory to be done, let it be through me, Lord. Please let it be through me. Ma fokutaro omi oba olola. Interpretation. We have to interpret that one too. Don't replace me. Jesus said, if you refuse to talk, God is able to use stones to do his work. May stones not replace us in Jesus' name. Use me for your glory, O Lord. I am yours, O Lord. Use me for your glory. So, are we encumbered with personal trials? Don't let personal trials stop you from seeing the greater glory. Are you encumbered with problems? Don't let your problems stop you from seeing what is the priority of heaven, the desperation of souls around you. It is Christians that will shine the light of the glory of the Lord. He sent them forth in Matthew 10 to preach the good news. And you might say, what will I say? Tell the world that Jesus is Lord. When was the last time that you declared the Lord Jesus Christ to be Lord? We should declare it everywhere. And as we begin to focus on this, then the grace and the glory of the Lord will be on us and we'll not be bored. But in the absence of this, we see that our daily struggles will be exactly what the Gentiles who don't believe in Jesus are struggling about. Our worries will still be, how shall I eat? How shall I drink? How will I be clothed? And the summary of our lives, God forbid, will be, I spent my sojourn on earth about my own business. May the Lord forbid. Don't let Satan take it away. Take that partnership, that greater glory, that walk from your heart. Because ultimately, Jesus has called us to testify to his glory and every other thing will be added to us. Auntie Ronke. Because you're sitting there.
You know, if you see somebody kind of going in the wrong direction, that can get you. You know how you just want to grab.
And so I'm sitting here wondering, why don't I have that fire burning in me about lost souls? So I think, you know, if we have that I believe, then it, to me it would be effortless as well to an extent. Do you understand? So how do we get there?
Good. The Bible said, did you hear now? Sister Runke said, she was talking about me, right? That as I spoke, that what is occurring to her is that we are not prodded into action because we don't have the inner motivation. We don't have the hunger for soul that seems to drive people who spoke that way? And then how can we have that hunger for soul? You see, Sister Runke, I mean, we can preach a big sermon about that. Here's the simple thing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is exactly because we don't have that hunger that this message is going out to me and to you, telling us that we need to have that hunger, right? If we do not know, we will not preach. If we know and we're not preaching, then maybe we need repentance. Then we need to be reminded. Paul said, I'm writing these things to you to remind you, right? Because at times we forget. And now I hope that as the word is going out this morning, the Lord is bringing to our remembrance the things that he first told us. The purpose of examining God's word is to set things in their right perspective. Remember we said last week when we were preaching that most of our problems at times is just, it's not that things should happen or change, but that we should see things differently. The Bible says that the Lord opened their eyes that they may understand the scriptures. So I'm praying this morning as the Bible says the word of God is a sword of the spirit. You shall know the truth will make you free. That's the word of God, and the mind of God is being revealed to us. We have a renewed passion. We now know, we will know why we are saved and why we are here. And the reason we are here is to represent the Lord Jesus. So I will say that rather than wonder, looking at the things before, it doesn't matter. There are other corrections that Christ will do tomorrow that we don't know yet. But as of this morning, as of July 11th, the call of the Lord is to remind us that it's not just about our problems. There's a purpose for us on earth why we are saved. So I'd like us this morning to be reminded of that, to preach the good news. Let it now be part, because there was a point when the disciples knew, but they were not empowered. The next step may be that you may be empowered. So as you have been praying for the prosperity of your children, I hope what this does is to prod you to now begin to pray for the prosperity of God's children too. We've seen the power of God on our children. And as we pray, we'll see the power of God on His church. As you pray, you will see the power of God moving you to evangelize. As we reveal and discuss God's word and we're educated by His Spirit, we'll see that the priorities of our lives will change and we'll start deriving joy in telling people. Not to lose that focus this morning, I want you to look at these empty chairs. New Covenant Church, we should speak as a family. Let's not give ourselves the excuse that our gospel is only meant for a few. It's meant for the whole world. Who will preach it? Who will preach it? Who will tell people that Jesus is coming? It's your responsibility. Remember that. That's what I need us to take away. As you speak with clients, with customers, when you go and you're afraid, remember the disciples were once afraid, but they never, ever, ever gave up. The Lord will help them. I want it to be our prayer that we want to see these chairs filled with people who are receiving the gospel of peace from God. It can be done. If those mountains, those personal mountains can be moved, if the Lord can help me to sustain a Fortune 500 job and raise two children for 5 years without help. I don't mean without, of course, I had help. You know what I mean? I mean without living help, okay? Without living help for 5 years, me, the most miserable, the most in myself of men, the most unchild-friendly person, the most fondless person on earth, two whimsical girls, then definitely the same. To help me to get sustained jobs, to work from home, when people said incredible, no consultant does this over and over, to be fired and rehired with apologies, then the same passion that taught me I was in trouble and I needed the Lord under the circumstance and I was praying and you were praying with me, if we all prayed like that for the prosperity of His church, these chairs will be filled. Do we want more people to hear the good news? Who will preach it? I'm challenging you. that once in a month evangelism is not enough. As you go to the cultural language with grace, let your language, your words be seasoned with salt, filled with grace, that you may know how to address. Give some room, start giving some room to intercede for the nations. Start praying that people will be born again. Leave room for God's problem. God's problem is that souls in their millions are going to hell. And you and I are expected to preach the good news, because the feet of those who bring the gospel of peace is considered to be beautiful. Do the work of an evangelist, Paul said to Timothy. Be instant in and out of season. I think that's in 2 Timothy chapter 5. Let us pray. Before we pray, sorry, let me give you a quick testimony. I don't know why the Lord does it, but he does it. I've experienced God's power in giving you peace in the midst of a storm. It's not until a problem is removed that you should rejoice. Habakkuk chapter 3. I will joy. Actually, that's the voice of faith. Without seeing, you know and you believe. And we already have different bases for our faith. He has done it in the past. If you look, many of you, the place that you thought deliverance would come from in your past problem was not where it came from. Right? Right? Am I right? There have been many times when someone promised you or something, and almost 90% of the time, it's now a given that you'll be disappointed if you trust men, if you notice the pattern. But one way or the other, the Lord will bring deliverance. He's done it in the past, he will do it again. He's waiting. Those trials keep coming because we've not learned to rest. He's waiting for the man who can totally chill. Say, okay, I recognize you. Being there, done that. I will rejoice in the God of myself. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. The Lord who did it will do it again. He will always do it. Just go about. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and the righteousness of it. All these other things, they'll be added. And the peace of God who passes all understanding will guard our hearts. Lord, lead us on in faithfulness and in grace, Lord. Father, please give to us your Holy Ghost. Help us to be faithful. I pray, Lord, that every heart here, as by your grace, will discover the joy of living with you, trusting in you, walking with you, representing you. I pray, God, that your grace will be so abundant in our lives that out of the abundance of the grace in our heart, our mouths will witness. When you've done stuff, give us understanding that we may not just consume it upon ourselves, but use everything you do as a basis for evangelism. Help us not to be silent, but the things you do and speak to us in secret, to shout it on the housetop. Forgive us our sins. Bless us as we go into another week, Lord. We pray, Lord, for those who do not know you, that they may know you. We pray that you will bring people into this fellowship of Jesus, that they will bring their talents. Together we will serve Jesus. Let this fellowship of grace grow in Jesus' name. Young and old, Lord, I pray, Father, that you will bring them, that together we will encourage ourselves until Jesus comes. Bring sinners who, like us, will be washed by the blood of Jesus. Father, bring people who you have ordained unto eternal life in the name of Jesus. Father, these chairs, let them be empty no more. We want to be a church that grows not just in knowledge, but grows also numerically, because, Lord, it's not your desire that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of Jesus. Help us to be faithful. Guide us against the evil one. Thank you for this morning, Lord. May your name be glorified, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.